Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning, rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Ah, we started yesterday shaking the Monday morning blues. And our conversation with the Due Time crew was the things you should not say to your spouse or partner. So what are those things? Well, we started off with you're overreacting or you're being too sensitive. Now, who are we to tell someone else that they're overreacting or they're being too sensitive? I don't know. You know, it's what you feel. It's what you feel. And, you know, the Due Time crew says, turn that one down. That should be something that you don't say. Okay? What about if you continue to act like this, there will be consequences. Now, there comes a time when someone does need to know if their behavior does not stop, there'll be some consequences. There's consequences to anything that you do that is not pleasing. Now, whether it's not pleasing to God, whether it's not pleasing to your partner. Listen, it is what it is. And you're going to have to understand that you just can't do everything you want to do because there will be consequences. So, you know, I think that's the key. So that the Due Time crew was split on that one. Okay, what do you want me to do about it? Now, that there, another one. Some on one side of the fence, some on the other side of the fence. Now, what do you want me to do about it? Well, I don't know. You know, sometimes people don't take responsibility for their actions, and they're looking to you to take care of something that, you know, is up to them. Now, do we use those exact words? I don't know. I think it depends on the situation. I think it depends on who you're talking to, and you're going to have to definitely consider what is going on before you make that statement. I don't think that should just be a flat out absolute no or absolute yes. I think it's something that, you know, we need to just weigh it out. And, you know, all in all, I think we need to just start talking to God about the things we say. So here's my suggestion at all times. Before we respond, or before we even have a conversation with someone, I think it's always smart to go before the Lord. Yeah, because, you know, you want to make sure that you say the things that you're supposed to say and you don't say the things that you're not supposed to say. And you want to pray that, you know, your spouse or your partner, you know, that they are coming to the table and they're open-minded as well. So, you know, you want to pray for them because being that they don't know you might be ready to have this conversation, they may not have had, you know, time to, you know, go before the Lord and pray about it. But you have. So pray for not only yourself but them, because some of the things that, you know, we don't, you know, we have on this list that came up yesterday, you know, we really shouldn't say. And there are things that, you know, well, based on who we're talking to, you know, talking to and what we're talking about, you know, that might need some mentioning. And there's some other times when we absolutely should say some stuff. So, you know, just go before the Lord before you have the conversation. And if someone approaches you about talking, pray together. Yes, pray before you have that conversation. Okay? All right. Well, it would not be a morning, a Monday morning, without getting our Switch Tip 102. Trust God's process for you. Now, this is a big one, because, you know, we have to really take into consideration, you know, that everybody's process is not everybody else's process. And that was the point that was made yesterday. Yes, and it was a very good point, I might say. You know, one of the things that God has shown me in more recent years is, you know, everybody doesn't necessarily have to go through steps 1 through 10 sequentially, systematically. You know, the Bible tells us that God works in decency and in order, and that's his order. So some people think that, you know, they have to go through step 1, then they have to go through step 2, then they have to go through step 3. And other times, you know, you'll see somebody go from step 1 to 5, 6, back to 4, back to 2. It depends on what God has for that person's life. It depends on God's will. And I've seen God move people to the head of the line. And in our finite mind, it may not make a whole lot of sense. But to God, it's his order. And he does things in decency and in order. Now, there are certain times when we need to go 1, 2, 3, A, B, C. We need to go in those steps, in those stages, rather, without question. However, there are other things that, you know, just will not work like that. And, you know, you might be thinking that, you know, hey, I should be back here when God has pushed you, you know, much further, you know, than someone else. Or again, you know, we're looking around and we're comparing. We're looking at what the world has told us to do and how the world has told us it needs to go. You know, sometimes, you know, God has got to push us to the front of the line, or, you know, we do skip a couple of steps because, you know, maybe God's mercy and grace says, hey, I need to do this way. You know, sometimes he'll do it for the children. You know, we don't know. We don't know. We can't just automatically speak and say that, you know, absolutely we're going to follow each step one by one by one. So trust God's process for you. You know, it may not be your next door neighbor. It may not be your mother. It may not be your brother. But it's you. So thank you, Shanti, for that switch tip. Trust God's process for you. All right. And, you know, we'll talk about, maybe, you know, we'll get to that today. And maybe we won't. But that's up in the air. We'll see. We'll see. Okay. Well, we have moved over to the next day by God's grace. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. And we got some conversation to be had. Let's talk about it. Well, get those pens out. We're going to finish our list from yesterday and see what the experts have to say. And then we'll get to talking about some news. Okay. Well, I want to give you an opportunity to go get that healthy breakfast. And then I'm going to advise you to please go tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And make sure you don't go anywhere because we'll be right back.
It was a well-paying job, respectable, wearing a suit and tie every day, but I drank 24/7. Woke up, drank 8 or 9 shots of vodka, drank on the way to work, drank at work.
I never could come to terms with admitting that I had an alcohol problem or a pill problem or any problem.
I decided one last time to get clean, and so I went to the Knockin' On program.
Not only did I handle my drug addiction, I completely knew how to live life.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning to you again. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day again already. Wow. Time is definitely moving by us rather quickly. It is already the 3rd of May in 2022. And we can't do nothing about God's timing, huh? It just keeps moving by, moving by. Well, I hope we are all doing well today. And we got some stuff to talk about. And I'd love to hear what you got to say about some of these stories. But before we get started there, let's get some information about that stomach. Well, yesterday we started, you know, working on that stomach information, and we were up to number 6. Okay. Well, we're talking about the things that stomach symptoms that you should never ignore. So let me just go through number 1 through 5. They say prolonged diarrhea. Do not ignore that, especially if it's paired with a fever or loss of taste and smell. Do not ignore blood in your stool. Number 3, do not ignore severe cramps after eating. Do not ignore difficulty swallowing and accompanied with pain in your stomach. And we're definitely not going to ignore unexplained weight loss. They say especially if it's accompanied by abdominal pain. Well, they say that we should not ignore chronic or prolonged constipation. Okay? They say almost everyone experiences some bout of constipation. And what I have learned is that constipation starts actually before we even realize it. Yeah. And they say that the older we get, the more we will experience constipation. So they are saying that, you know, if you don't go to the bathroom at least 3 times per week, it's considered constipation. They say it may not seem like a big deal, but it actually is. Okay? And make sure if you're not going to the bathroom that you mention it to your doctor. Certain medications, or if you have a diet that's low in fiber, or certain medical conditions such as like thyroids and even diabetes can cause you to go to the bathroom less often as some others. And you need to pay attention to that because we don't have any idea as to what exactly it is that's going on. So don't self-diagnose and get that looked at. All right? Okay. Number 7, sudden intense abdominal pain. I am an expert at this, ladies and gentlemen. Sharp pain that is, I mean, crazy, whether it's in the middle of your stomach, in the on the side of your stomach, on your lower left side, lower right side, man. Don't ignore that bad boy. They're saying it could be diverticulitis or some serious infection, muscle cramps, all kinds of things can be going on in your stomach. So if you have any sudden sharp pain, don't ignore that bad boy. You will regret it. Okay? They say frequent, severe, or worsening heartburn. Ooh. Now, you know, ladies who are expecting, you know, you experience, you know, heartburn and things like that. But they're saying on a regular basis, that's a no-no. Okay, especially if it's just on a regular basis. Okay? They say that a burning, uncomfortable sensation in your chest is something that you need to look at if it's common. Okay? They say if it's getting worse, oh, yeah, you need to go check that out. It could be reflux, acid reflux, which is not a good thing. They're finding that that is much worse than it has been in the past. They're saying that it could lead to erosion or narrowing of the esophagus. Okay? That's also a possibility of some precancerous condition. And they say in rare cases, severe heartburn can also indicate a more serious condition such as a hiatal hernia or an esophageal cancer issue. Okay? So we've got to pay attention to those heartburn issues. A swollen abdomen. Okay? They say it's not unusual to feel bloated after you eat a big meal, but there's definitely a difference between bloating and distension. Okay, and distension is an actual increase of your abdominal size. Okay? They say, do you see your belly sticking out? You might want to get that checked out, especially if it's with pain. They say it could be excess fluid or gas forming in the small intestine, and that could be indication of an obstruction inflammation or bacterial overgrowth or a gastrointestinal disease. Okay, so we want to make sure we pay attention to just like if your belly starts sticking out, not from you eating, but, you know, if it's accompanied by some other stuff. Okay, and lastly, they say, if you're feeling full after eating very little, that could also be an issue. So pay attention to that. They say that that could be a sign of diabetes. Wow. It could be a sign of a tumor or any other issue. So we can't ignore these things. We can't ignore these things. So number six through ten, don't ignore these stomach problems, chronic or prolonged constipation. Number seven, sudden intense abdominal pain. Eight, frequent, severe, or worsening heartburn. Number nine, swollen abdomen. And number 10, feeling full after eating very little. Alrighty. So make sure you add that to your list. The stomach is the middle of your body, as we know. And, you know, I'm not saying that because I know you don't know, but, you know, it can just indicate signs of something above or actually below. So we want to make sure we pay attention to all of that. Okay? Alrighty. Well, what are we talking about today? Well, you have, I tell you, let's talk about it Tuesday. Always gives us an opportunity to talk about these crazy people. So, they have a young woman was driving, and 17 years old. I don't know, what is it about these 17-year-olds here lately? And she's been arrested because she's been accused of shooting another 17-year-old in the face during a road rage incident. Okay. They say the victim was riding in the front passenger seat of a car, and a woman pulled up in a black sedan alongside the car and just fired into the car. They say the shooter then pulled off quickly, and another passenger in the vehicle was able to take a photo of the woman. So this Ashlyn Crouch was treated at the hospital, and her mother was able to get some of the information. Now, this other young lady, she ended up turning herself in and said that her children, three children, ages 4 to 9, were also in the car with her at the time of the shooting. Now, who takes their 4 to 9-year-old children on a drive-by? Who does that? I mean, were they asleep? So she's being charged with 4 counts of aggravated assault, 3 counts of cruelty to children, and 1 count of possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony. Okay? Now, they talked to the mom of the victim, and she said she just couldn't believe what this woman had done. And I don't know how in the world she found out where the woman went after she shot her daughter. But she said that what happened was the woman was cut off in the car with the 3 kids. So the other young lady cut her off in the car. One flipped the bird. The other flipped the bird back. And I guess flipping the bird just wasn't good enough. So she pulled up beside her and just shot her. It went behind her ear and came out through the side of her eye. But what they said she did afterwards, which is, like I said, I don't know how they found this out. They said that after she shot the woman and drove off quickly, she went to go get her nails done. Oh, my goodness gracious. She went to go get her nails done. Now, you mad because somebody flipped you the bird. Now, I don't know, maybe the nails got messed up, you know, while she was shooting the gun. I don't know if that's what she was on her way to begin with. But they said, well, you know, didn't seem like there was much remorse over what happened because she went to get her nails done afterwards. Now, the other question I have is you got a 4 through 9-year-old children. You got 4 through 9-year-old children in your car, 3 of them. How are you going to get your nails done? All of them sat up in the nail salon with you? So were they awake when you shot this woman? I don't know, y'all. I don't know. You know, it's oh, goodness gracious. I don't know. It's just, either you got the people shooting you for no reason or, you know, throwing grease in your face, and I don't know. It's like any little thing. That's why I said, don't argue with people. Well, clearly you can't even flip the bird because now that might get you shot. And just don't argue with people out there. You know, everybody's walking around with a chip on their shoulder. That's the one thing I have noticed. Well, here we are again. What makes people mad? They're saying that there's a Chinese food delivery man here in Queens, New York, and they say this has been some ongoing issue with a customer. And the customer is a 50-year-old man who, after finding out about this shooting, they found out that he had a long list of stuff behind him. He's been charged with armed robbery and some other issues. And they say that what happened was he ordered some Chinese food. And when the man came and left the food, he got angry. Now, I'm a little lost as to how, because the way they're telling the story is really weird. They say that when he got the food, he was angry that he didn't have enough duck sauce. Are y'all ready? He didn't have enough duck sauce. So he ends up shooting the delivery man. But this is not the first time he's had an altercation with this delivery man. There was another time where he went and ordered the Chinese food in the store. And when he left, he came back and was angry then because he did not have enough duck sauce. And he was complaining, and the Chinese man was telling him, you know, hey, it's all right. You can get more duck sauce. We don't charge anything extra. You know, you can have as much as you want. And he gave him the duck sauce. But that didn't seem to, you know, make him okay. It didn't seem to satisfy him. So when they looked, he had slashed the man's tire, and they got into this big altercation. So I don't know how he ended up later ordering the Chinese food, and when it did not have enough duck sauce, then he ended up shooting the delivery man. Now, here's the thing. When someone else had to tell the story. There was another person in the store who actually ended up telling the story after he shot the delivery man. And this is how they found out that it was not his first time having an altercation with this Chinese store. And they said when they looked, he had had 10 arrests on his record, all sealed between 1995 and 2012. And one of the other arrests, they found that he had a robbery with a gun. So had they caught him or kept him, rather, again, we find this negligence of the court where they keep letting these people out only for these people to continue to be a menace, continue to kill, continue to wreak havoc. I don't understand these courts. Everybody's going free. Now, how in the world? Listen, and I found this out just from some, you know, when you're doing some reading and, you know, I didn't know investigating, but, you know, it's what you hear. Even though the records are sealed, there is some exposure to these sealed records. So somebody can open up the file. That's the point I'm trying to make. So when you have opened up the files, so you're telling me in between what 1995 and 2012, when all of these crimes were committed, listen, this man is now 50 years old. So in between 1995 and 2012, he was no minor. So why are these things sealed? They did not say that he has any mental illness. They did not claim any other issue. So why in the world are your sealed? Based on what? Based on what? So now you have somebody dead because you have some sealed records that nobody bothers to put any weight to. And that's why they bring up the issue that, you know, one of the 10 arrests that he had involved a robbery with a gun. So if you were to have dealt with him at that time, then it wouldn't, maybe this man would not be dead. I don't know. I tell you, this is why I tell you, I never used to look at the news. Never used to look at the news. Because the stuff just doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. So you have this next story of this 16-year-old who's accused of the driving some teens to a triple shooting. Okay? Now, they say that last week they had a triple shooting of a 17-year-old and two 17-year-olds and a 16-year-old. And this was a drive, it started off being a drive-by shooting. And when the guy who was 17-year-old did the shooting, he ended up going back to where the two people or were on the ground after he shot them and then murdered them because they weren't dead. They weren't dead. So they drive by, they shoot the three people in the car, and the driver was killed instantly. Then the other two managed to get out of the car and ended up, they say, being murdered at the scene. So they managed to get out the car. He goes back and he shoots them on the ground where they were. So they do some research, and they find that there's this 16-year-old girl, and she's being charged as a juvenile with murder, and she was taken into custody. And they're like, well, how did you manage to take these people to where they were going to kill somebody and you say you didn't know? So again, either she knew and she's lying, or she didn't know and she's one of these people where, you know, can you take me somewhere? And you say, yeah. And you don't ask no questions. Well, clearly this is not, you know, here locally in New York. I'm trying to figure out where this is. They keep giving, like, the location. They're not giving the state. But here you are, 16 years old. So most times, because they're not saying that she was driving without a license. They have not, they're not accusing her. They're not putting that on her, on the or charge on that. So here you are. You're accused of 16 years old. You're done. You're done. You're done. You're done for a long time. And that's why I say you're done. Because you're being charged. And they make sure to say, you know, she was being charged as a juvenile with a murder. But she's going down. Because three people killed. And you were a part of that. You were the getaway driver. Not only were you the getaway driver, you were the one who drove them there. So now this is all on you. What a dummy. What a dummy. How do we get involved with all of these things? I don't understand. I don't understand. You know, you got to make some better choices. And it seems as though there's just this, you never see this, it's just this pattern that we have over and over and over again. So for the past couple of weeks, all we've been seeing are charges against these 16-year-olds and these 17-year-olds. And I don't know. I don't know. It's like we really have lost control of our young people. And all I would love to do is talk to these parents and ask them, you know, what's going on? What happened when they were younger? What didn't happen when they were younger? I don't know. I don't know. But I'm ready to talk to my crew because I got a headache with all of this stuff that's going on. Let's start with our Pastor Ed. Well, good morning, Pastor Ed.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I am okay. I'm okay, thanks, with the exception of reading all of this crazy news. I don't know. You know, we started off with the woman who shot, you know, a young lady in the face. And she's driving around with her three kids in the car, ages 4 through 9. You know, the girl cuts her off, and she gets flipped the bird, and you flip the bird back, but that's not good enough. Now you have to pull up and shoot her. Now you're carrying a loaded gun in the car with your children. You're not going to tell me that these kids did not hear the gunshot. You speed off, and then you go get your nails done. So I guess they're saying there's no real urgency or remorse for what you did because you wouldn't be sitting up in the nail salon. I don't know, Pastor
yep.
Ed. What?
You know, it's, I'm almost like you. It's almost a point where you don't want to watch the news anymore, but then you also want to be informed. We're at a place where people just seem to have one, first and foremost, no form of self-control or discipline, just as we used to say, just totally out of control. No
mm-hmm.
form of compassion, concern, or love for their fellow man or just for the value of life. It's as if so many have become completely desensitized. You know, we use the term in the scripture that conscience has been seared. It's disturbing to look at, if you look at the overall state and behavior of mankind. And we can't just say in the cities, we can't just say in the United States, because we see this behavior all over the place, although what we see here obviously impacts us directly. But, you know, there used to be a cliche, if there ever was a time we needed the Lord, it's right now. Well, we've always needed him. But there is something missing in the human element, mind, psyche of so many, and in their spirit, that needs to be ministered to, touched, changed, so that there's a concern and a care. Because to behave in this manner and move on as if, you know, it was nothing serious, somebody's life. Houston, we have a problem.
Absolutely. And to think that you would do this with your children in the car. Who takes the children on a drive-by? Because that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're perpetuating that behavior. You're planting seeds.
Yep. Yep. And we're trying to figure out why the children are all out of control. And we've talked about this before, where the children are out of control because the parents are out of control. You know,
yeah.
And again, they're doing this in front of the children, like you said, perpetuating this behavior right in front of the children, perpetuating this mindset right in front of the children. And therefore, the kids seem to think that this is normal. This behavior is normal. Because think about it this way. If you shot somebody in front of the kids, what else have you done in front of the kids?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Can you imagine what else is going on in their presence? What other seeds are being planted? What other training?
Yep.
You know, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child. Lord God, they've taken this to a whole other level in the wrong direction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are definitely training up a child, and it ain't in the way they should go. I don't know. We got the 50-year-old man who has a long list of arrests, and for some reason sealed, because in between 1995 and 2012, you weren't a kid. So why, and you have no mental illness on record. So why would your records be sealed? And now a man who is delivering Chinese food has lost his life because you didn't give him enough duck sauce.
Again, you see this willful, selfish, self-centered, out of control behavior, and the fact that, and again, you know, our nation and our justice system find so many excuses and reasons for, and I don't want to say giving people passes, but sealing his record. What was he? The child of a diplomat? was he the child of some member of CIA? Was he a member? I mean, so the whole sealing the records, and he wasn't a minor, that I don't understand. So he had to have some special designation that they felt was either crucial to national security or some operation or mission or goal that, you know, that the nation deems important. But yet this behavior is allowed to happen. So once again, when there's no consequences, you know, he's operating with impunity and no remorse. Duck sauce, that was your reasoning for attacking? It concerns me. We're going down a slippery slope, and we've got to do something. And it starts at home with the parents, and then with the community that's supposed to be there to be a part of these children's lives and all the other institutions that normally would play a role. We're missing the mark. That's
absolutely
serious. Yeah.
And it's like, where do you get the justice from? Because clearly he has some upbringing that was twisted, or where you would feel the need to seal the records. And then when they stand before these judges, they're making all of these decisions to protect these people. And you're not protecting the community. You're protecting the people who are out of sorts. I don't get it. And this seems to be a pattern now, where we're just letting people roam the streets, and there's no consequence for their actions.
Oh yeah, but what, right here we have judges with so many cases on backlog that, I mean, they're literally letting multiple time murderers out on bond, and I'm like, wait a minute, you let him out on bond the first time for allegedly being charged for killing someone. And while out on bond, they kill someone else, and you're actually considering bond again. We've got a problem, serious problem. Our society,
and that's what's been happening. That's exactly what's been happening. As they're out on bond, or as they've been put on probation, and all of this kind of stuff, they just become repeat offenders. And what do you do with them at that point? You then let them go again. We just had a story last week. Of how things have been botched, you know, internally, and now you have them walking the streets on a technicality. So it's like it's just this cycle of over and over and over again, Pastor Ed. You know, I want to talk about this last this 16-year-old, and again, we're talking about the negligence of somebody. You know, they're not saying it happened overnight necessarily, but all of this is regarding some teenagers, and they're saying that this is a feud that they've been having going back and forth, and now you are pulling in other people who are your age to, you know, do the drive-by with you. And you're so heinous that the drive-by wasn't good enough. You wanted to ensure they were dead, because when they got out of the car, you know, I guess trying to get away or whatever have you, you also got out of the car and then murdered them right on the spot. So by the time, you know, they got to, well, there were a couple that were dead on, you know, at the scene, and one was taken to the hospital, but later he died. And now, you know, you're able to pin this partially on another 16-year-old girl who was responsible of being behind the wheel. And it's like, what are we telling these kids these days that they are willingly getting involved with these crimes?
But again, it goes, if you get to the heart and the root of these various individuals, you know, we're seeing them in mass on the news, and, you know, we're constantly hearing it and seeing it. But if you get to the heart of the individual who is committing these heinous acts, I can almost assure you, you're going to find some pattern, some trauma, some negligence, some actions and behaviors in the life of this individual that is contributed to the fact that, I mean, they are, when we talk about lost, I mean, literally lost, where your heart has become so hardened and so cold that you're more concerned about being offended that, you know, there's a book out called The Bait of Satan, you know, and it's talking about offense, you know, how we react to and how we're offended. But to the point that we feel in order to satisfy our anger, our lack of control, we literally need to take someone else's life. My question is, how do you continue to sleep and eat like a normal human being after you have taken one, two, three, anyone's life? It's kind of beyond me. It's hard for my brain to grasp that. Even your worst enemy,
Right.
But again, that's the mindset that is being perpetuated, and the media doesn't help it, because television, the media in general, glorifies, even though it's fantasy, some of these individuals don't know how to distinguish between reality, or choose not to distinguish between reality and fantasy. So when you look at what's constantly being fed into the minds and in the hearts of these individuals, along with the fact that there's nothing else to fortify it positively, that's where we get these. It's almost like creating monsters, because that's the behavior and the mindset that they exhibit.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't know. It's like, where do you go from here, Pastor Ed? Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I'm going to give a holler at our Pastor Charlotte and see what she has to say. Good morning, Pastor Charlotte.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you today?
I am well. Thank you. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
Okay. You sound okay, Pastor Charlotte. did you get your nails done, Pastor Charlotte?
Not no more. I used to.
Okay. Was it a form of relaxation?
Yes, actually, that and the cuteness of when you put your hand out, your nails would be glittering.
Okay. Well. Could you go and get your nails done after you done slapped somebody, or you done got into some outright brawl, or, you done had a big argument? Is that the time to go get your nails done, because maybe that's a relaxer, after, you done went and you done been through some things, you go and you sit down and you get your nails done. Is that how it goes?
Well, it's the lifestyle of the people. In the nail place when I was going, they would break out in a fight, physically as well, over a color that I had that color first. So
what?
It could be, that's one of the reasons I stopped going. So that was where I was getting that color. Well, you put it down, and I picked it up, so I thought you didn't want it, and it'll start off big things. So it's the lifestyle of the people. I thought about her as the mother. That's why it was so easy for her to do what she does, because this is what she do. This is what she know. So for you to be able to shoot in front of your children, to have a gun in front of your children first, and for you just to continue your day as nothing happened, that's your normal. That's your normal.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's your normal. People, the young ladies that come in there, the attitude that they have, and then when they get in there, just by them being on the phone, they just go, if you sitting in there and you hear the conversations that they having loud on the phone, and then the lady might, who's doing her nails, just might made a mistake or something. Oh, they ready to fight them as well.
Wow. Wow. Well, I agree with you when I say it would have to be a norm. Because, and that's why I said to Pastor Ed, imagine what she does around the children on a regular basis. If you found it so easy to just pull up to somebody, shoot them,
mm-hmm.
and then pull off and go get your nails done like nothing happened, this is a norm. You know, this is what you do. And unfortunately, this is what our children are watching. And that's why, to them, this is business as usual as well. I don't know. I've never been the one to go get my nails done. So, you know, I don't know how relaxing it is. And just the smell alone was killing me when I would go get my feet done. So I couldn't stand there for so long. But, yeah, the fumes are just, you know, I guess maybe in my little old age, you know, it was hard for me to even just inhale that stuff. And that's another reason why I never could figure out why they take kids up in there. Can you imagine what that stuff is doing to your insides? But why do they wear masks? They got masks on. And you, maybe it's the nail fumes, Pastor Charlotte, that's now making them go bonkers. I don't know. Maybe that's part of the problem.
It could be, because the last time that I went, and it's crazy that you said that, because I asked the Chinese lady, and I said to her, how come you got a mask on in the shield, and this is before COVID, and we don't? So her excuse was that because they sitting around it all day for hours, and I get that. But when you do think about it, it's all in the air. You know, they have the doors closed most of the time. And it's crowded, you know, because everybody's sitting on top of each other. We're all in a line, you know. But you can make the choice yourself. So I start going in the morning. When they first open, I go with the seniors.
You know what?
And that's when I used to go there.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm serious. You got to start wondering what else is contributing to the madness in this world. And, you know, I kind of joke around, say, you know, maybe it's the nail fumes, but, you know, you don't know what's going on. It's just too much of this mental illness going on and all of these kind of things. So, I don't know. Everybody ain't born this way. I'll tell you that much. Everybody is not born mentally ill, because that seems to be the going thing these days. And everybody got something going on upstairs that ain't right. But, you know, you're talking about this 50-year-old person who clearly has something wrong with him. Anytime you've got this from 1995 to 2012, you've had 10 incidences in that amount of time, but yet you are privileged enough to have your record sealed to the point where you end up out here and you kill somebody over duck sauce. And this is not the first incident, as they said. You know, it took the other worker in the store to tell the story of how he was in the store before and was upset over the fact that he did not get enough duck sauce. So
now that's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So because he didn't get enough duck sauce, now you're gonna shoot the poor little, you know, driver, the delivery man. Mm-hmm. That's your the people, how are we going to get our food? It's like, I don't know. Oh, my gosh. I don't know, Pastor Sean. I don't know. Brother Al,
well, I thought of...
Go ahead.
Okay. No, I was saying, I thought of when you first was saying it, of his mental state, but then they allowed him to come out. And by them allowing him to come out and walk the street, you know that it was something else was going to happen. And my thing is, you had a target for this one person. He targeted this one person because you said when he went in to the store, he had an issue with the same guy. And then even he's the delivery guy. So why were you targeting him, and where was his safety of the people that he worked for? I thought of that as well.
Yeah. This just goes to show you a whole lot of things go on and how they are endangered, you know, as they have to deal with these, you know, with these, what do you call it, disgruntled customers. You know, we hear from moment to moment, you know, this is what they're having to endure. Okay, Pastor Charlotte, I want to know. You have a 16-year-old daughter who is now part of a drive-by. What do you do with her?
Okay, so did the cops get her first, or am I getting her first? That will tell you what I'm going to do to her.
You're getting her first.
Okay. So if I'm getting her first, she's going to want the cops to come and get her because she's going to be screaming, and now they're going to lock me up because I done beat her tremendously. Because of how stupid are you to drive them. And even if you did not know and you was driving, let's just say that piece. If you was driving and these are your friends and they say, oh, take me to such and such and such street, and you see this, then your job is for you to put the foot or hard on that gas and let you get up out of there. And if they're in the car with you, you need to go turn yourself in if you saying that you did not play a part of it. Because once you have them to come get you, now you're stating that you were a part of it. My thing is, by tuning these video games they're watching, the movies they're watching, social media that they're watching, you know, for all of these things that is on now that you can get your hands on easy, you have already played a part with that. So I'm not coming to get you. I'm not coming to get you, you know. And my thing is, these kids that's out here searching for love, and they go into these little gangs that they are in, you know, and somebody's telling them something where they're turning against their parents, just like the Bible tells us, you know, and where that you don't have no control. Stop being these kids' friend. That's a problem, too. And we're allowing them just to see what they want. This is their house. They can go in their room, close the door, watch what they want to watch, wear what they want to wear, come in when they want to. That's an issue.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlene, for your input as we talk about our news. And we'll be back. But let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor Steph?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. You've heard all of our chatter about, you know, the different acts of senseless crime. You know, I try not to bring, you know, the typical stories of, you know, there was a drive-by and blah, 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 more than, you know, my issue is to bring these stories that have just that extra touch or that extra spin on it that really just makes you shake your head. And, you know, as I've said, you know, this is why we need Jesus. But we're talking about this woman who has her children in the car, and, you know, she doesn't like the bird flipped at her, and you end up cutting someone off and shooting them right in front of your children, and then you go and chill and get your nails done. What does that say to you about her mindset?
Well, I mean, I guess the gun smoke was on her fingertips, so she had to get her stuff together. So she went and got her nails done. But this is an extension of what we were talking about, I believe, the other day. You know, when you carry on like this in front of your children and then wonder why your children are the way that they are. This was a field trip. You know, this is a way of life for them. You know, the children see this kind of behavior all the time. You know, it stems from the parents. The parents have no self-discipline and have no self-control. So now the children just think this is a way of life. They don't know that you shouldn't go up to nobody and shoot them in the face because this is what mommy does. So this is mommy's attitude. This is her way of life. This is what she does. You know, so it's kind of hard to be mad at children, you know, for turning out the way they are, because of how the parents started them on their journey.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, we keep asking this same question. You know, what's wrong with the kids? Well, the parents is what's wrong with the kids. And, you know, I've said many a day, the parents do the most damage to the children than anyone else could ever do to these children, because it starts at home. So like you said, you know, I actually like the phrase the field trip, because who knows what else they've, you know, gotten involved in or they've witnessed or, you know, and then they've just gone and chilled. You know, mommy done bought you the ice pop or the bag of chips and, you know, sit there and you just gonna wait so she get her nails done, you know, after all of this. So
the kid's probably in the car cleaning the gun.
Lord knows, let's hope not.
Why don't you get her nails done?
Well, you know what? You never know, because I'm, like I said, I'm trying to figure out who takes a 4-year-old and some other up to a 9-year-old to go get your nails done. Just sitting there on a regular basis.
Right.
Because they're not sitting there that calmly for you to go in there and get your nails done. You got to wait your turn and all of this kind of stuff. So who knows, you know, what exactly, you know, they did. Does it say that she dropped them off and just said she went to get her nails done? Oh, my goodness.
And then they're embarrassing you, too, at the nail shop because, you know, like you said, they're not just sitting still. So Ching Lee say something, they're going to be repeating Ching Lee. So, you know, it's going to be crazy, you know?
It's
going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's definitely something. I would have loved to just follow them around afterwards and just see. Not only that, but, again, what was their mental state after the gunshot went off? You know what I'm saying? Because everybody was asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was asleep in that car. Somebody witnessed her shooting someone. And, you know, so is it business as usual for everybody? Oh, you know, well, that's what mommy does. So, you know, that ain't no big deal. That's the scary part. That's the scary part. In all
when it becomes a norm to your daily living, that's scary.
Right. You know, where it's just like, oh, okay, mommy just shot somebody. Okay, let's you know, we can get that.
Mommy
chip.
Just shot somebody again. That ain't the first time mommy shot somebody or threatened to shoot somebody. They've seen that gun before.
I would believe so. Because, again, if the kids were out of sorts because of what just happened, you couldn't have gone and gotten your nails done. So they would have been too out of control. So
they'd have been too distraught.
Right. And wait. And knew not to say nothing. Oh, they didn't say that the kids told.
Right.
So you didn't went and got your nails done, and the three kids sat quietly. They sat quietly and said nothing.
They didn't put it on Facebook or nothing. No TikTok, nothing.
Yes, nothing. They sat quietly and said nothing. You knew you had control when you could take your kids to go get your nails done and nobody mentions that you just shot somebody. I don't know. All right, so you got the man with the who has an issue with duck sauce. Y'all just don't seem to give him enough duck sauce, and he's wreaking havoc more than one occasion, and now he ends up shooting the delivery man because he does not have enough duck sauce. And when you look back at his record, you find that he has 10 charges, 10 arrests, and yet he's still able to walk around. And now somebody else is dead at the hands of the justice system, because that's where I'm putting this now.
Well, I mean, a lot of folks dropped the ball. You know, the justice system definitely dropped the ball. But, you know, after the first two times when this fool was talking about duck sauce and I had to deliver it to him, I wouldn't be delivering no more. we just wouldn't have been taking your money because we know how crazy you are. And not only that, I'm the driver. I don't make the food. I don't prepare the food. I don't even bag the food. You mad at me as the driver? No. Listen, at that point, as the driver, if it's the same driver, I would have to say, you know what? I'm not delivering here because it's detrimental to my life. He's crazy. You know, or if I know that I got to go there, I should be locked and loaded as well because the life I save may be my own. So I think a lot of people dropped the ball here. You know, the justice system definitely dropped the ball. But as an owner, if you know this customer is a problem, no, I don't have to serve you. Listen, how much was his meal that I needed that to tip me over the scale for my earnings of the day? I could have did without that meal because it surely wasn't worth my employee's life.
And, you know, it's funny because what you said a minute ago made a lot of sense, and that's what the article talks about. It talks about the fact that, you know, this was a continual issue, not just with the driver, but in the store. And they say that he wanted his money back at one time. And the person in the store would not give him his money back. So he called the cops, and the cops begged for him to give this crazy man his money back, and he refused to give him his money back. His argument was, listen, you know, I can't take your food back because, you know, I don't know whether you opened it, you know, with the COVID. This is what he said. With the COVID, I don't know if you've opened it or not. I don't know if if what it's been exposed to. So I can't give you money back. But, I mean, would it have killed you to give him $10 back to save the
And just throw away the food. And throw the food away.
Right. It wasn't worth somebody's life.
These organizations throw away more food at the end of the night than a little bit. So was that $10 plate going to hurt you?
Yep. And that's exactly what I thought about when I read the article. The police begged, but to no avail, in vain, because he would not give the money back. And at the end of the day, it ended up costing the driver his life because you would not give back this money. So, you know, this wow. really is something that could have been prevented, like you said. Okay.
But then the other question is that at that point, then how much did the owner have to pay to the family of the driver?
Right.
Over $10.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Now you've got a bigger issue where now let me tell you something. They have to have these people insured if you have these people delivering.
Yep.
So
yep.
You're right. But what is it going to cost you now to make this wrong right? And there's nothing you can do about it because you can't fight that over a let's say a $10 meal, where even the police I get you to give this money back. It just wasn't worth it at the end of the day. Wasn't worth it. All right, what are you doing with the 16-year-old who's a part of this drive-by? What are you doing with this?
We are not passing go. We're not collecting $200. We're going straight to jail. I mean, one or two things. If you say that you're innocent, I'm with you. But we still going to the precinct so we can tell the story. They're not going to come and knock on the door because at that point, it's almost too late. Now you got to really fight. So come on. Hey, you say they asked you to drive somewhere and you didn't know nothing about it? Well, then you gonna tell where Pookie live, you're going to tell them where Tyrone live, you're going to tell them where everybody live, and we're going to figure this thing out. Now, if you want to talk about, you know, snitches get stitches, well, listen, you're about to get a beating, and it's going to be worse than the stitches that you're going to get. So we're going to go straight to jail or straight to the precinct and try to work this thing out.
All righty. Do you... And I'm going to ask you, the panel, do, and I want to come back to you, Pastor Kale. Pastor Ed, I'm going to ask you, do you feel that the parental discipline is not strong enough for these children who are getting involved in these different criminalistic acts, and that's why they continue to do these things?
Now, listen, I know there are exceptions to every rule, but in most cases, you're going to find somewhere along the way that there was, neglect or the role of the parents and was not as effective as it should be. I mean, God entrusts us with these children, and we're responsible for raising them up at least to the age of majority. And we have, I'm sorry. I witness all the time people that are more concerned with being buddies and friends and having the favor of their children than they are concerned about how they're nurturing them to become responsible adults living in society. I mean, there are times where I'm just shocked. I can't believe that a parent or parents are putting up with a certain behavior or encouraging or indulging or defending certain types of behavior. So my answer is in many, many of the cases is yes. You may have an exception where you tried all you can and there's some other issues influencing the child, but for the most part, we as parents have to take on the role and the responsibility, not only in nurturing how our child is going to behave, but also protecting them from other, to the best of our ability, from other influences that might direct them down a wrong path. And
all
you
right.
Can't be their friend.
What'd you say, Pastor?
Can't strive to be their friend in doing it. They may be angry and almost feel like they hate you now, but in the long run, most cases they're going to appreciate it later because you kept them on a path, off of a path that could and will lead to destruction.
All right. Pastor Charlotte, you know, do you feel that there's just times when, you know, the parents are just not disciplining, you know, to the extent that they should, which is, you know, allowing a free pass to the children? They believe that it's nothing wrong with what they're doing.
Yes, I do believe that. First of all, we have a lot of babies having babies. Grandma is only 30. Great-grandma, she might be 45. So if that. And with that, just like Pastor Ed said, and I said earlier, you know, these children, the adults, I want to be their friends, and they're scared of their children because of I can call 911. So, therefore, I can, you know, if you hit me, you know, you're going to get locked up, you know. So they don't have the values that, meaning the beatings, that we had. Remember back in the day you went and got to switch off the tree yourself for them to beat you. So now you can't beat your kids. You can't say nothing to your kids. That's what they say, you know. And with that, you can't chastise my child. So now you got these children where they're talking back, the surroundings that they're around, the people that they're being with, they're, you know, listening to them and not listening to you. So where's the values? Yes, you need to be able to come a lot more stronger in the discipline, even when they go to jail. Remember Scared Straight back in the day? Then they made people not want to go to jail. You know, so it's just free will out here. You can say whatever you want to say, and even to the point where that if the kid is disrespectful, the parent going to jump on you because you're not allowing the child to stay in the child's place. They're too busy in the conversation, and they're too busy talking. What happens to the kids? You'll be seen and not heard. So they don't do that. So I say, yes, be more disciplined and stop being friends and do what you got to do.
All righty. Pastor KL, what are we saying? You know, is it a lot of the parents' fault because they're just not doing what they're supposed to do in the discipline area?
Absolutely, yes. Let me just take it a step farther because Pastor Head and Pastor Charlene hit it on the head. However, listen, it took us, because we're all seasoned on the air right now, but it took us until in our adulthood to appreciate the beatings that we got. It took us to having children to appreciate the discipline that we got. No one liked getting beaten. I mean, I speak for myself. No one at that point liked getting beat. So what happens, and even we did it in our mind, we said when we get older, we're not going to be like our parents. But because these kids are having kids, they haven't gotten to a point where they appreciated the discipline. So it stays in their mind that I'm not going to be like my parents. So, yes, I'm going to be their friends, and I'm going to be more understanding because I understand where they come from. By the time they get to the point where they can appreciate how they was brought up, the children don't run amok. There is no more control over the child. Once the child goes and thinks that he is of equal to the parent, you have lost the child. I don't care how much you beat him now because now he's not afraid of beating. You know, I don't care how much you threaten to take him to jail because now he's lived the street. He's not afraid of the street. But until you could appreciate what you've gone through, the sacrifices that your parents went through to get you here, to get you to the next level, you will not be able to raise your own children because you raised them from a child mind because you have not arrived yet.
All righty. Yes.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, because the parents don't sit down and talk. They cuss at them. So they're not sitting down and talking to them. Because my mother was a lecturer. She would rather, I'd rather for her to beat me than for me to sit down at that table with her forever. You know, but that was one of the issues, too, that I just wanted to state as well. Because they cuss at them and not sit down and talk to them to teach them. I apologize again for jumping in.
No, but
you know, Pastor Charlene, the cussing becomes part of your language. Your child only speaks and only understands what you constantly put into them. So when you cuss, it's another void anymore because this is all you do. This is how you speak. This is your language. This is your English. So when I'm MFs and I'm just like my daddy and I'm all this stuff, it's no longer a trigger point for me because for the rest of my life, I think my nickname is MFer because that's all you call me. So I've adapted to this. I don't even worry about it no more.
Right. And you're right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they do. They become immune to it. And now, you know, nothing bothers them anymore. They're just brushing you off. And I've seen little kids. I've seen five-year-olds. Their parents are just cussing and they're just moving around. I'm more hurt at the cussing than the child. I'm like, ooh. And it's like, they don't even bother them. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's the way you talk. And here I'm flinching and jumping, and it's like it's just rolling off their back. It just doesn't even bother them anymore. So you're absolutely right. You know, it just becomes a natural thing. And after a while, you know, there was a video that was circulating for quite some time where there was a little Hispanic boy, and mom was videotaping him. And he was like, but no, Linda. He was telling Linda, and he was talking to Linda, getting his point across to Linda. And this is what she was videotaping. You know, he was saying what he wanted to say. He didn't cuss her out, but this was somebody who was like four years old, maybe five. And this is this big conversation going on. And again, mom was videotaping, and she had to videotape because this was something that was normal. So, like I said, I've seen it so many times where I'm over in the corner ready to cry because they didn't hurt my feelings, but the kid is like, oh, okay, next. It's not even bothering them. But before Pastor Ed has to go, because we got happy with Pastor Ed when he's on, and we forget he needs to go pay the bills. Before you go, you know, we were looking at a movie the other day, and there were Christian parents, and they had teenage kids. Kids were like 17 years old, because they were both getting ready to graduate from high school. And mom knocks on the door, and she says, can I come in? I got mad. I'm like, and I pay the mortgage? And I'm not going to, but can I come in, Pastor Ed? Please help me with this one.
Okay, you just made
soft.
You just made me mad, too. We had an incident even here where I'd gotten onto one of my children, and I went to open the door. They'd barricaded the door, I guess. So. Let me tell you something. I said I would smash the door off. I will listen. We got to learn that there are limits and barriers and boundaries. You are not my friend, nor are you my equal. In no way. I have been charged responsibility to take care of you and to raise you up. You know, we love to quote Proverbs 22:6, you know, train up a child. Parents look crazy when I quote Proverbs 23:13-14, where it tells us, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. In fact, 14 says, thou shalt beat him with the rod, shall deliver his soul from hell. And so, you know. But
there's truth.
There's truth. Listen, children do not have the wherewithal. They need boundaries. When you leave them to their own devices, there's not been experience and wisdom developed enough, and they are lost. It is our responsibility to give them back, direct them. Ephesians 6:4 tells us, you know, we're to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And parents, many times parents are too busy, too self-absorbed, too, like Pastor Charlene said, afraid, whatever the case is. But you know what? I'd rather go to jail doing the right thing with and for my child than have my child go to jail or to hell or to the grave because I didn't do the right thing. We've got to do better. We've got knocking on the door. Please, there better not be nothing in your room that shouldn't be here. So, no, I don't need to not tiptoe around you at all.
So, Pastor Ed, before we go, we got like two minutes that I have you. So are we saying that we are too passive as parents when we give them, because I'm going to go where they go, you know, I'm giving them respect. You know, how are we trading discipline for respect or respect for discipline?
Listen, I think people get carried away with this whole respect thing. Granted, the scripture also says, do not provoke our children to wrath. So no, I'm not going to harass them unnecessarily. But the whole point of they have to learn what respect is and earn respect in the sense of, so my respecting them is not being abusive to them and neglecting them and not doing things that a parent should. But that's the truth, because it's disrespectful for me to send them out into a world improperly prepared to live in the world the way that they should. You know, I have a mandate from God. So the respect is doing the things that a parent should do and raising them to be decent human beings and providing for them. But all this, this is their space. This is their you ain't bought an inch of space nowhere. This property, nowhere, not a dime. So, no, you know, we got to watch it. We can't follow the world standard because the world is going to do what the world is going to do. Which, when we call ourselves Christian parents, we have to raise them up by godly standard.
And godly standards include discipline and correction, even though it may hurt you now. One thing my pastor used to always tell us, he said, I can't promise you I won't hurt you, but I promise you I will never do you wrong. And there's a difference.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Ed, for joining us today. And we
Thank
pray you.
You
have a wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you.
Like all of you, have a good, blessed day.
Thank you. Pastor Charlotte, again, we're knocking on the door and can I come in? I was like, what? Can I come in? But these people, they use it as a sign of respect. I'm asking you, can I come into your space? Where do we get this from? Oh, Jesus. So, I don't know where they get it from, but I'm not knocking on no door. I remember when my children was teenagers, and they thought that that's what I was supposed to do. And I was like, okay, so it's time for these hinges to come off this door, because there'll be no doors. You're not going to tell me that for me to knock there. I'm walking in the bathroom. I'm going in your closet. You ain't got nothing. Show me. I got the lease, and I put it on the table, and I said, now show me where your name is. You just got keys because I gave them to you, but you don't pay no bills. You don't know. You don't pay this rent here, so you don't have no set. So you can't tell me that I'm in your space. So wherever they went, I sat. Ma, you can't move over. No, this is my couch. Every time they move, I walk. You breathe in my ear. This is in my house. And if you don't like it, then there's the door, and you can go find somewhere else. When you get a lease with your name on it, then you can tell me. And now that my children are grown, that's what they'll do. They be like, oh, Ma, now you in my house. So now when I get tired, I can tell you to go, sure. You ain't got to tell me twice either. So in my house, no, we don't do that. Discipline is since they took it out where that, you can't hit your kids, I don't believe in that. Because if you step to me, you're going to get it. If you try to disrespect me, you're going to get it. So my thing is, if you are a disrespectful child, please stay away from me. I do it to the ones that see, even in the church, come get your kid. Because I just had an incident about two weeks ago. A little boy, he can't be no more than about four. And he hit me. But before I had to catch, I was on my way to hit him back thinking he was mine. And I had to catch myself. And his grandmother, I told her, you got to do something with him, because he got one. He don't even have one more chance to hit me. So you have to be able to discipline, and that's the problem. We don't discipline him in the house. We don't discipline him in the church. And how you act outside is just how you act in your home. So you cannot tell me that I'm a knock on anybody's door. You don't have no rights in my house. So that's how I feel about that. All right. Well, Pastor KL, you have consistently said, they don't have any doors in your house. They had no doors in your house. But where did this concept come from where we feel like we need to knock to enter their space in the home that we run?
I really don't know. I don't know when they got space. But the only space I know you got is when you breathe. When you breathe, wherever you are, that's the space. You just breathe it. Pastor Charlene just said that a child hit her, and she had to remember that that wasn't my child. Well, let me tell you how I feel. If a child hits me, he becomes my child. We're in the village. It takes a village to raise a child. So if you have the audacity to hit me, as a child, you become my child. So, respect is that I let you eat, respect is that there's water when you want to take a bath. Respect is you have some place to lay your head. That is respect. Respect is that when you leave out of my house, you are clothed and in your right mind because I have that beating your brains out. Respect is that when you go to school, you look decent. That's respect. Respect is not that you can do what you want to do in my house and I have to reserve your privacy. You have no privacy. I hear a lot of folks saying, well, you don't buy nothing in here, so I take the bed out their room and I take the dresser out their room. Guess what? It's still my room. The room is mine because I pay everything in that house. I pay the rent. You don't pay the rent for that room. So the room is mine. So I don't have time to waste my energy taking out beds, taking out dresses. I'm going to take you out if you want respect. And all of God's people said, amen.
Amen.
I've heard of people taking the bed. I've heard of people taking furniture. I've heard of this stuff before. And I'm saying to myself, before I became disabled, I'm like, I'm not unpacking the bedroom. Get rid of the kids. Well, that would be a whole less strenuous. You know, I don't, how do we get to, you know, the point where, you know, this becomes the rule and not the exception to the rule, where you feel as though, and here's the thing, you ended up with a child who had in her bedroom a test, the answers to the test, so you would never have known or seen that because the door remains closed. You have, you know, another child who has drugs in the room or who has a gun in the room or has somebody else that's stolen in the room. And you're none the wiser because you've reserved this privacy. And, you know, now they're blaming you. How many, you know, people have been put out of homes or lost homes in an apartment, you know, at least to their apartment, because children were doing things in there that they claimed they didn't know. And some of them probably didn't know because you reserve the right to respect this level of privacy. So, you know, as been quoted, you have this spare the rod, spoil the child. You have this train up a child in the way he should go. You know, why are we, you know, Pastor Charlotte says, you know, well, it's because they threaten to call the cops and all of this stuff. But, you know, I'm going to give you both an opportunity to just have a final word, you know, when it comes to we Christian parents, you know, because worldly parents ain't doing what the Christian parent or the pastor suggests. So what would you say to those parents, you know, of the children who we've discussed here today in the news, of the ones who are knocking on the door asking, can they come in, blah, blah, blah. What are you saying to them, Pastor Charlotte? What's your word of advice today?
My word today is, actually, I sat down with a 14-year-old on Friday because she was having issues and her mother was displeased with things that she was doing. And, so what I said to her was that at the end of the day, when you get in trouble, the first person that you're going to call is your mother, because nobody else is going to have your back. People will tell you to do these things, encourage you. Oh, your mother don't know. How many times have girls where the parents don't come in their room and they got little boys in there, wait till mama go to sleep, and then the boys sneak out. Oh, that was me as well. Then I got beat up though. But anyway, I told her, I said, listen, you know, your mother is very concerned about you. And I'm saying to the parents as well, we have to get to the place where that our children's business is our business. And even in the church, it's worse off than the ones that's in the street. We try to do the blind eye because they're saying that you're in church all the time. You're not spending time with them. And these are the issues that I am hearing, that you're not spending time with them. You know, you're so busy over there in the hallelujah corner, and my mother, I'm over here, and I'm hurting, and I'm depressed, and she doesn't notice nothing that is going on with me. My body functions is changing. She never sat me down and talked. I said, but that doesn't have any reason for you to do these things that she's saying that you do. So it's that they want attention. So I say to you parents that take time for family time. And that's one of the things that's lacking. You have to be able to separate yourself and spend time with your children, even if you have multiple. And that's what I had to learn as well. Take one child at a time, and it's just you and them, where that you're able to see what's going on. Ask questions. Make them feel comfortable where they're able to come and talk to you, where they don't have to run out and talk to somebody else. And then you bring everybody together. You have to make that time on the weekend. It doesn't have to be all 4 weekends. It can be 2. It could be 1. But spend that time and make them feel that safeness. And that's what I'm hearing. They don't have that safeness because they say that you get up, you talk about them, you know, you're not hearing what they're saying, and our times is different from their times, which is true. So my thing is to sit and take time with your children. And if you don't know how to, then that's where you come in when you have a youth group and be able to hear their problem and be able to understand. And that's where I'm at right now, where that I took them separate and now I have to bring them together because the daughter needs to be able to tell her mother how she's feeling, and she's terrified to tell her mother how she's feeling. And if you're able to sit down in a safe place where that nobody is screaming and everybody's able to hear and be able to express, because you cannot say that you can't feel that way. You can't tell a person of how they feel. And that's her. So I say that to all the mothers and all the daughters and even the sons. Even the sons with their fathers or vice versa, whoever you're living with. You know, make it a safe place where they're able to come and tell you and be able to stand. Don't change your mind. If you have a rule that this is my house and you can't do nothing, don't switch up on them. Because one thing about them, you have to be consistent. You have to be consistent and be able to stand and be able to show them. And if you can't do it on your own, then, you know, get a group together. You know, you and somebody else, you know, come together and be able to hear. And that's what I suggest.
Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte. Pastor KL, what are we saying to the parents these days?
Well, parents, I say, let's be parents. Let's be parents all the way. You know, when I was young, I didn't get keys to my parents' house until they thought I was responsible enough to have keys. They didn't just give me keys because I wanted keys and out of respect, you should give me keys because I live here. Well, no, if you wasn't responsible, you wasn't getting keys to my parents' house. It's just like a driver's license. If you don't pass a test and show that you can drive, you're not going to get a license. You know, certain things that we have to put in place for our children, that there's a standard, you know, and if you stand up for God, God will stand up in you. So, you know, we always talk about ask for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. But yet we let these hellions do anything that they want to do in our house. Now, again, like Pastor Charlotte said, you have to have a standard and you have to be able to stand on the word. You know, we can't allow these folks to tap into your emotions and tap into your psyche just because, you know, they're your child and they should have a voice and they should have this and they should have that. Guess what? When their voice gets too loud, you're going to jail. When their voice says, I don't want to go to school anymore, you're going to jail. When their voice says, I'm doing a drive-by, or when their voice says that I'm building a bomb in my house behind closed doors because you say that they can put a lock on it, you're going to jail, all because of their voice. Now, I say, let's simmer down that voice just a little bit longer and make them respect the house, then you can respect them.
All righty. Oh, did we get some advice today? Thank you so much, Pastor Sharlin and Pastor KL, for your contribution into today's conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
You as well. You as well.
We'll do the same.
Thank you. All righty. Boy, and the natives are quiet today, which hopefully means they're listening. We're going to take this opportunity to go before the Lord and hold hands and hold hearts together. Heavenly Father, we come before you, God, thanking you because you are just an awesome wonder. Thank you so much for waking us up this morning. And I would like to say, getting us started on our way. What a word, what a conversation today to bring to our awareness all of the things that we have taken for granted, all of the things that we have misunderstood, all of the things that we have made light of. You have shined a light on our responsibility today, God. We want to take this opportunity to lift up all the victims in our stories, in our news today, to Heavenly Father. We pray that you would be great, bring great healing on their bodies, dear God. We want to pray for the families of the individuals who were murdered, God, so senselessly. So senselessly, God. Even if, you know, the perpetrator felt that they had a motive or they had a reason, God, we understand it to be senseless, dear Heavenly Father, because at the end of the day, they had an option. Lord, we thank you because if it weren't for you, we might be them. Whether we might be the perpetrator or we might be the victim. Thank you, God, for keeping our head on straight. And even though we may feel like we're losing it at times, the Heavenly Father, we thank you because in the grand scheme of things, you are keeping our brain under control. We thank you, God. We thank you that we're not the victim. We thank you that our children or family members or loved ones have not been the victims, dear Heavenly Father, which shows your protection over our lives. Because many of us have done things where we could have easily become the victim, but you've watched over us, God. You've protected us. You've kept us in your ark of safety and your barrier of protection, God. Thank you. Thank you for all of the words of wisdom that were shared here today. Whether it stems from experience or somehow learned or following your word, we thank you, God, because we have your word to turn to when we don't think about anything else, when we can't think about anything else, we have your word to turn to. Thank you for giving us such a wonderful option. Thank you, God, for helping us to choose you. Thank you for selecting us, because your word says if you had not chosen us, we would never choose you first, because our flesh and spirit don't want you. It doesn't want correction. It doesn't want discipline. It wants to do whatever it is it wants to do, God. So, Lord, we pray for every parent who's listening, every person who's parenting, who's listening, every person who will play a parent, who's listening, God. And we pray that these words of wisdom will become ingrained in them as a way that they can serve you properly, God, because you've given us stewardship over these children, and it's our responsibility to love and care for them in the way that you have given us, not the way we want to, not the way the world has told us, but what you have given us to do, God. And let us remember to put you first. your ways, your rules, your laws to put you first. And we will not go wrong. Thank you for making us aware of some things that we just hadn't even considered. Thank you for introducing concept to us, the Heavenly Father. Thank you for strengthening what we've known but may have become weak in, God. We pray for every messenger and minister today, dear God, that the words that came from them were definitely words of life from you. And we thank you for giving us an opportunity to share in what you would have us to say. Thank you, God, for every listener, that they would not just be a hearer, but that they would be a doer of your word. And we will not fail to thank you for your love, your protection, watching over us each and every moment of the day, keeping our children protected when they may have done something to expose themselves to harm, but you have watched over them. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for watching over us when we may have done something that would have exposed us to harm. Thank you. We love you. We need you. And we will not hesitate to give you the glory and honor. So rightly do your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, when you read these stories, when we cover these stories, how often I say thank you to God, because we could have been any of these children. We could have been any of these parents. But God has definitely taken the time to invest in us. And that's why you hear me always thank God for the investment. Because there are some people out here that still don't have any godly guidance, counsel, or instruction for whatever the reason is. You know, I used to work with a young lady, and she was Hispanic, and she's always hear me talk about God, and, you know, when I would talk to her, I would talk about God, and she had a young child, and at the time, you know, I had a young child, and, you know, I would talk to her about, you know, taking a child to church or whatever. And one day she came over to me and she said, you know, she said, Steph, you know, she asked me something about God, and she said, you know, God was never talked about in my home. And my grandmother never talked to my mother about God. And I was so shocked because, you know, the Hispanic community, a lot of them are very, very, you know, they believe in God. They have all kind of statues and, you know, all kind of things that they, you know, subscribe to when it comes to God. And some, you know, it might be a little off, but there's still a foundation. And that was the first time I had ever really spoken to someone who had never really been introduced to God at all, even an incorrect God, you know, where there's a whole lot of rules and laws, and you're like, where'd you get that from? That's not biblical. You know, it amazed me, and it made me so much more appreciative of the fact that my mother didn't send us to church. She took us to church. She made sure that we were there every Sabbath. And, you know, maybe her life did not pattern behind, you know, what God would have really wanted her to do. But she made sure we got the foundation that we were supposed to get. And that's what we're missing. That's what we're missing. And you hear me say very often, you know, we are now living in a world where God is responding to the no thank you. You know, we don't want God governing our lives. We don't want God governing our homes. We don't want God governing our schools, our jobs, our relationships. We say no thank you quite often. And in actuality, we don't even have any idea as to what we're saying no thank you to. You actually said no thank you to a discipline that would cover not only you, not only your child, but your generations to come. You know, I look at my granddaughter and, you know, she's dealing with, you know, just this passive aggressive behavior at the age of 7 that someone is inflicting upon her. You know, it's somebody who's supposed to be her friend. And, you know, we've been watching this for a minute and we've been explaining to her, you know, does God, you know, we ask her, does God want us to treat one another like that? It's been a minute. We would hear her on the phone and she would say certain things. And one day Mariah said to her, you're not being a good friend. And God doesn't tell us we should be a good friend. And this is at 7. And, you know, for us to instill these things in our children is so vital because it's going to be that in which they rely on as they get older. You know, we're teaching the children how to pray, when to pray, and what to pray for, and the ingredients of prayer. And as long as you work with them on a consistent basis and you ingrain this in them, they will take these tools throughout their life. And I always say you want to teach your child how to pray because they're going to need to know how to pray when they're out in those streets and something, you know, there's something that they're facing and they're going to have to know to call on the Lord. They're going to have to hear that small voice that told them, when you get in this situation, just talk to God. He'll rescue you. And that enough of that is not being done. And when we take the time to instill this, opposed to this level of respect that, you know, we feel we're offering, that is making more of a monster than it is, you know, a child of God who has learned to be respectful and not look more for respect. Because the Word of God tells us, contrary to the way the world tells us, you know, the world says, hey, you know, you got to give respect before you get respect. Whereas the Word of God says, this is our responsibility to always outdo one another in love. So let's make sure we're sending the right message to our children. As young as they may be, make sure you're instilling God in them. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are not on that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew who always comes through big time. I want to thank you for hanging out with us today, and I pray that your silence meant that you really had an ear to the Word of God today. We pray that you don't miss this opportunity to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, because later is not promised to us. Until tomorrow, where it's Wow Wednesday, God spare our life. I love you.